Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. It is June 12th, 2013, and we'll go straight into the news. We got a jam-packed show for you tonight. Top story headline, DHS-funded exercise portrays free American citizens as terrorists. You know, just like how they have the terrorists out there. A Homeland Security-funded training exercise in Boston dubbed Operation Urban Shield that was delayed due to April's marathon bombing revolved around a terrorist cell dubbed the Free American Citizens, another indication of how the DHS is characterizing liberty-loving Americans as domestic extremists. The drill, which was funded with the aid of a $200,000 Department of Homeland Security grant, and was set to involve DHS officials along with other federal agencies, centered around a scenario of domestic terrorists leaving explosive-filled backpacks at the locations around the city. Now, let's take a second and think about what actually happened at the Boston bombing. Because you remember, day one, you can go look this up on PrisonPlanet.tv or the Alex Jones YouTube page. Myself, David Knight, and Alex were all in the studio talking about how you should look out for the red flags such as drills. You know, the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, they were having a drill. The Oklahoma City bombing, they were having a drill. They were having drills at the Boston bombing as well. They were having bomb-sniffing dogs, I should say, as well as this drill that was scheduled to happen afterward, but was very, very similar. Now, we'll go to this next article, police response, training plan, but bombs hit first. Now, in this article, we're going to detail the bullet points of what actually was going on, what was going to happen in these drills. So we'll slide down a little bit towards the end of the page, and it says, in the training scenario, investigators participating in Urban Shield would have had to track down footage of the bombers that were caught on street surveillance cameras, as well as taking witness accounts such as phones and cameras and so forth. So, okay, so they're trying to track down backpacks as well as using surveillance footage to track the suspects. We'll move on to the next one. Also, they said the terrorists would commandeer vehicles and drop them at some point outside of the city, which is exactly what happened in the Boston bombing. You remember the two suspects had a vehicle, the shootout ensued, and one of the brothers got away, one of them didn't. And also, they said one of the people would end up dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Now, what happened to the older brother? There were reports that he got shot, he got ran over, maybe he got ran over and then shot. You know, that's still yet to be seen. But we think about the self-inflicted wound or the alleged self-inflicted wound of the younger brother. You know, you remember, saw him, he was in the boat, you know, clean and whatever. He gets out the boat and 5 minutes later he's bleeding from the throat. What happened to that guy's throat? I've yet to encounter a reasonable explanation as to that. I'm sure you haven't really heard one as well. And also, oh, get this, the logo for this terrorist group in the training exercise, they would use the logo of a metal skull, metallic skull, with the Uncle Sam hat. So just more of what you've seen. We've shown you the videos, the propaganda on the TV shows and the movies. Myself and Alex did a piece, I guess about a month, maybe a little bit longer than that. I believe it's called Hollywood Hates Militiamen. And you can go check that out and see how all the TV shows, the cartoons are all saying, hey, militias are bad, militias are evil. And that's how they view the militia in this country. Now, we'll move on to some different news. This is out of Philadelphia. Philadelphia couple joins class action lawsuit against NSA's Verizon spying. That's right. It is a spy state. The plaintiffs are calling the domestic spy operation a breach of privacy. Filed in a federal court in Washington, D.C. on Sunday, the lawsuit names a host of heavy hitters, including President Barack Obama, the NSA, and the Department of Justice.
He knew something was off when he sometimes heard tapping noises while he was on the phone.
I called Verizon. I have a text 001-002. And I called them up. I said, who's this? And they said, it's somebody listening in from the United States and someone from Afghanistan.
Strange claims the text started soon after his hero son's death and when he demanded answers from the government.
They didn't want nobody asked.
Okay, so that was a father of a SEAL Team 6 soldier. His son died, in the helicopter fiasco. And he says, I just want answers, and they didn't want to give questions. So on more on that, we have that father, that same father, giving his testimony of what happened to his son and also the reaction he got from President Barack Obama.
To put my son in the most elite SEAL team in the world in a Chinook helicopter over an active battle that's going on for 3.5 hours, unacceptable. unacceptable. Somebody has to answer for this. You know? A Chinook from 1985. You know? Look outside the picture. You know? Who's getting paid to keep rebuilding these Chinooks? Who's making the money? Right? 93 days after killing bin Laden, all of a sudden you're going to put 22 of the most elite in SEAL Team 6 in the world and 8 other great Americans into a Chinook over the battle. President Obama comes up to me and he says, Mr. Strange, he grabs me by the shoulders, Michael changed the way America lives. I grabbed Mr. President by the shoulders, and I said, I don't need to know about my son. I need to know what happened, Mr. President. And the Secret Service guys grabbed me. And I'm crying. And he went to give me a hug, and I whispered in his ear. I said, Mr. President, is there going to be a congressional inquiry? And Mr. President whispered in my ear, and I could feel his lips touching. He said, Mr. Strange, we're going to look into this very, very, very deep. Well, I haven't heard nothing.
So you heard his statement there. He said, why is my son in this antique helicopter to begin with, as well as many other brave soldiers? And he says, I had a chance to personally meet Barack Obama. Barack Obama approached him. In fact, he says, sir, I'm very sorry for your loss. He says, Mr. President, let's not worry about my loss. My son knew what he was signing up for. We just want the answers of how this could happen. The president assures him we will look very deeply into this. And then a couple of golf games and scandals later. In Barack Obama's defense, he does have a new scandal come out every week he has to deal with or shift the blame to somebody else. And speaking of the scandals, we're going to be talking all week long about these the scandals. We've been doing these pieces here. John Bowen has been doing these. In fact, he did some last week on Bilderberg. You can go to prisonplanet.tv and check those out. But this is the Obama Scandal Chronicles, and this one is about the NSA wiretapping.
No more illegal wiretapping of American citizens. No more national security letters to spy on citizens who are not suspected of a crime. No more tracking citizens who do nothing more than protest a misguided war. No more ignoring the law when it is inconvenient. That is not who we are.
Does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
The NSA specifically targets the communications of everyone. It ingests them by default. It collects them in its system, and it filters them, and it analyzes them, and it measures them, and it stores them for periods of time, simply because that's the easiest, most efficient, and most valuable way to achieve these ends.
We have a strong interest in him being brought back to the United States so he can be brought to justice, and I'm sure we'll do whatever we can to accomplish that.
I think there's only one problem, and that is that my remarks are not sitting here. People!
They're doing more. That's why they, I mean, he is supporting the building of the Buffdale facility, which is over $2 billion they're spending on storage alone of data.
The programs that have been discussed over the last couple of days in the press are secret in the sense that they're classified.
Whatever one thinks of Edward Snowden, it looks to me as if we've also got a big problem that is internal, not external. So you tell me that the president has requested $13 billion in cyber spending for FY14, and yet a contractor, not even somebody who's accountable to your chain of command or anyone else in the government, is able to get his hands on a copy of a FISA court order allowing the collection of metadata from Verizon. How on earth does this happen? And why does a contractor have access to information that we're spending $13 billion to prevent outsiders from getting their hands on?
So that's one of the grave concerns we both have.
But they're not secret in the sense that when it comes to telephone calls, every member of Congress has been briefed on this program.
I am not the chair of the Intelligence Committee. I'm not the ranking member. I don't serve on the committee. And the impression has been created that people parked in our office given us daily briefings on this or monthly briefings, and that's not been the case.
Mr. Speaker, the President's Justice Department sold weapons to narco-terrorists south of our border who killed one of our finest. The President's State Department lied about Benghazi with false information provided by the White House. The President's Attorney General authorized spying on a Fox News journalist and his family for reporting on a North Korean nuclear test. The President's Justice Department confiscated phone records of the Associated Press because they reported on a thwarted terrorist attack. The President's Treasury Department uses the IRS to target political opposition. The President's Health and Human Services Secretary pressures the insurance companies she is supposed to regulate to promote Obamacare, which is the same law she uses to force citizens to pay for abortion-inducing drugs against their religious liberties. Mr. Speaker, the President's dishonesty, incompetence, vengefulness, and lack of moral compass lead many to suggest that he is not fit to lead. The only problem is that his vice president is equally unfit and even more embarrassing.
I'm going to answer a question at the end of the remarks, but I want to make sure that we get the remarks out. People? Oh, goodness. Oh, somebody's tripping. I mean.
These things need to be determined by the public, not by somebody who was simply hired by the government.
So another great report from John Barron. Like I said, he's going to be doing those all week long, so stay tuned for the next episode. We'll move on now to this. DHS wants equipment for, quote, riot control situations. Now, what type of situation do they plan to get in? A June 10th solicitation posted on the Fez Biz Ops website seeks to outfit officers working the DHS Federal Protective Service, which is primarily used to guard government buildings, but also has been used to spy on protesters. Now, if we can come out for a second and go to the article, I want to detail all the things that they're going to be getting in this this new solicitation. So we'll take a look here. They will have 111 upper body and shoulder protectors. Okay, and we'll see 123 thigh and groin protection systems, 110 hard shell shin guards, and then 189 police riot helmets. Now, keep in mind, this is the same agency that is buying up all the rounds of ammunition. They have armored personnel carriers to enforce warrants, and they say these things are bomb-proof. I'm not exactly sure, not bomb-proof, but mine-proof. I'm not exactly sure how many people use mines domestically in this country. They have fully automatic assault weapons, but when they buy them, they're personal defense weapons. But when you have one, it's called an assault weapon, as well as other things, paper targets. But I just want to take a look at these guys. Maybe we can flip it over here. I just want to show how cartoonish these guys actually look. Look at that guy right there. Take a good look at that guy. Now we're going to switch to this over here. Now this is the comic book character Judge Dredd, the futuristic lawman in a dystopian society, technologically advanced and all that jazz. And look at that. Go back. The one that says Dread 3D. Now, that looks pretty much like what that guy had on. If we can maybe flip back to that other guy, and I just want people to make the comparison. This is a futuristic comic book character, and you can see right there on your screen, that guy's wearing pretty much the same thing that Judge Dredd was wearing. And this is seen as normal. I mean, what happened to the days where you had the guys, you know, they had, you know, the blue uniforms and the hats and all that stuff and everything is good, and now they're running around looking like Judge Dredd, a comic book character. They literally look like a comic book character. I can't believe that. Now we're going to switch gears to some NSA news. You know, we had to put that in here. NSA prism leaker Edward Snowden may soon disappear. Now this is just confirming some information that we reported on earlier this week. As you guys remember, there's a lot of hubbub about what's going to happen to Mr. Snowden. If you're watching the Alex Jones or maybe listening to the Alex Jones radio show, you heard Wayne Mattson talking about this guy's option, Mr. Snowden's options. He's saying, you know, Edward, I wouldn't so much stay where you are. You may want to move around a little bit. But regardless, people are saying, hey, this guy may get disappeared. And I'm very concerned for the man's safety. I'm sure he's concerned for his own safety as well. But we have this article, and it talks about, you know, how the guys were hanging out at the airport and they're rubbing elbows. Like, hey, well, why don't we disappear this guy Snowden? Maybe we can get rid of this guy, throw him in the river, whatever. You know how the gangsters talk. So it's just more of the same, and I definitely am concerned about this guy's safety. But we'll switch over to this article. NSA surveillance played little role in foiling terror plots, experts say. So this is a guy, he blows the whistle. He says all this stuff is going on. You heard guys like Boehner calling him a traitor, other people calling this man a traitor, you know, whatever name that they wanted to call him. And Snowden saying, well, the work you guys are doing isn't really helping in the first place. And maybe I can move this to a document cam area. And I just want to show people this because the experts are saying that this had little, played little role in foiling terror plots. And this is from The Guardian. You guys can go and check that out for yourself. But, you know, the people who work there at the NSA are saying, tapping your phone, reading your emails, knowing how many pizzas you order isn't really keeping you safe, even though that's the claim. So check that out for yourself, and we'll move on to our next topic. Obama quietly raises carbon price as cost to climate increase. Wow. Okay. Buried in a little notice rule on microwave ovens. Okay. So they're having a ruling on microwave ovens, and they decided to slip in a carbon tax because, your dog may be a little bit too flatulent and cause some type of drought in South America. This is what the carbon tax is, and I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's what it is. When you breathe, when you pass gas, when just anything happens, that's because that's changing the climate. And I do agree there is climate change. Some days it's hot, some days it's not, some days it's raining, some days it's not. So I do agree that the climate changes, but to say that my gassy dog is causing these earthquakes and droughts and meteors to strike the planet is quite ridiculous, but we'll get back to the article. Now, this is talking about how these emissions are being blamed for everything, from everything to everything. Well, I'll skip down here to the second quote. The increase of the so-called social cost of carbon to $38 a metric ton in 2015 from $23.80 adjusts the calculation the government uses to weigh cost and benefits of proposed regulations. And the article goes on to say that how many people are not convinced about this, even people who were convinced that maybe carbon taxes may be a good idea in the first place, people like Al Gore. I'm sure Al Gore is still cheerleading because you pay your carbon taxes to Al Gore. He's not just a well-meaning person. And even if Al Gore is so concerned about carbon taxes, why does he have multiple homes? I believe the estimate was between all of his homes, he has a $30,000 utility bill. You know, and just like you and me, he breathes and exhales gases from his body. So why doesn't he plug himself up and save us all if that's, you know, if his breathing is stopping the polar bears from being able to swim? And we're going to go here to a nightly news classic. This is actually something that predates the nightly news, a special report from Alex Jones talking about Obama and his war on energy.
Obama hit struggling Americans with energy rate hikes. Following Barack Obama's vow to bankrupt the coal power industry, Americans are set to be hit with a wave of utility bill hikes as draconian EPA regulations drive up the cost of energy.
So if somebody wants to build a coal power plant, they can. It's just that it will bankrupt them because they're going to be charged a huge sum for all that greenhouse gas that's being emitted.
The Obama administration's crusade against coal-fired power plants, which was launched on the back of discredited junk science about hyped global warming threats, has little to do with improving the environment and everything to do with lowering living standards by creating artificial scarcity. The EPA has now listed as harmful carbon dioxide that is part of the life cycle of the planet. New EPA rules dictate that utility companies will be forced to spend an initial outlay of $800 million to conform with regulations that mandate harmful emissions be reduced under the Clean Air Act. And yet power plants supplied by General Electric, one of Barack Obama's biggest campaign contributors, have received an EPA waiver and will not be subject to the new regulations. The new rules will exacerbate the problem of rolling blackouts, warns Donna Nelson, head of the Texas Public Utility Commission. Nelson said, quote, "I have no doubt in my mind that this rule will result in reliability issues and rolling outages in Texas." Obama's strict enforcement of draconian EPA regulations has led to new clean-burning coal-fired plants being mothballed and other existing ones being shut down, which has in turn led to Texas and other states becoming energy dependent. All of this, of course, will lead to significantly higher utility bills for U.S. citizens who are being assaulted with more and more expenses, even as the threat of a double-dip recession lowers living standards.
So there you go, another issue of Alex Jones warning you in advance, and people didn't heed the warning. Oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist. You don't like the way technology is going. You don't like, why don't you like people shutting down your coal-powered plants and jacking up your rates? Why don't you like that, Alex Jones? But, you know, hey, I guess if you like paying more for less, I guess that's the new model here in this country, pay more for less. Now, we'll end now with our quote of the day. This is from John F. Kennedy. The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings, that by John F. Kennedy. I wonder when Kennedy said that, if he knew all this stuff was going to come out about him after he died, you know. Yeah, 2 weeks before he was shot, you know. So, and I'm not judging the man for his lifestyle or alleged lifestyle, but it happened 2 weeks before he died. So, very interesting. All right, now stay tuned after this break. We'll be back with Alex Jones. I know you guys have been missing Alex Jones on the InfoWars Nightly News. He's been over there in Bilderberg and doing some other things on the radio show, but he's going to be in here interviewing two whistleblowers, two guys exposing the spy grid. And these are Joe Joseph and James Knox. So stay tuned for both those interviews. I'm sure they will both be very informative to you and your friends. So if you're watching right now, go and tell your friends to get ready. Sit them down on PrisonPlanet.tv. And speaking of PrisonPlanet.tv, oh, yeah, it's that time. You can go to PrisonPlanet.tv and get yourself a 15-day free trial. You can get the Alex Jones radio show, the nightly news, the rants, all that good stuff. You can go back and look at the past special reports. You may be able to find even, I believe that Alex Jones' report we just played is on PrisonPlanet.tv somewhere. You may have to dig for it, but I'm sure it's on there somewhere. So stay tuned for that. And also go to the InfoWars shop and pick up the new magazine. Well, what should I say, the current magazine. This has a nice coffee stain on here. This is a real magazine. Alex Jones spilled his coffee on this just a little bit ago. So you can go to the InfoWars shop and get the magazine and also check out ProPure and all the other great products on InfoWars shop. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after this break with two whistleblowers and Alex Jones. Now you can watch the InfoWars Nightly News streaming live as it happens for free.
Check it out at InfoWars.com/show.
The important thing about the Pro One filter today is that the material we use for removing fluoride and other heavy metals now will remove the latest form of fluoride called hydrofluorosilicic acid. There's no other fluoride reduction filter out there that will remove that type of fluoride. And it's extremely important because today we're hearing more and more cities are using that form of fluoride.
We've been having medication forced on us through the water system for quite a while. Most people don't realize it. Most people don't realize the negative effects of fluoride.
There's a wide range of health effects that are attributed to fluoride.
Bottom line, why should somebody get this new Pro One ProPure filter?
The reason to buy the Pro One, it's an all-in-one filter. It's convenient, easy to use. It doesn't require the add-on fluoride filter. And in addition, this filter removes the latest form of fluoride called hydrofluorosilicic acid.
I'm Darren McBreen, and these are some of the new items that are available now at InfoWarsShop.com.
Alert the public to Obama's blatant abuse of power with the new Obama t-shirt. Obama's Joker face on the front and come and take it on the back. It's time to publicly call him out for what he is, a tyrant. Defend the Second Amendment with our top seller come and take it t-shirts. And look at that, women's cut tank tops and t-shirts now available. Nice hat. Plus the Don't Tread on Me flag. And now you can become a micro distributor of the InfoWars magazine. Plus get your own copy delivered right to your door each and every month. And if you're tired like I am of you and your family being exposed to polluted drinking water, get the Pro One High Performance Water Filter. It gets rid of all pathogenic bacteria, cysts, fluoride, heavy metals, and numerous other contaminants. So join the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
And welcome back to this Wednesday evening edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Now, coming up, we're going to talk to an insider who's been a member of the military, then a defense contractor, and is now a civil servant again working for the government. And he did something we've had a lot of people in government do over the years, point out things that are open source, that are public, but that the government doesn't want widely investigated. And that was now a year and a half ago. Headline, government censors document revealing plans to wage war on Americans. And there's a new article out today at InfoWars.com that was really broken by Radar Online, dealing with the main core group, 8 million Americans. They're looking at rounding up. This is declassified during an emergency, people that won't go along with the tyranny. That'll be the 8 million that have to fight back. I mean, you can't go to a FEMA death camp with these people. This is a criminal Mao Zedong style takeover. So first off, we've got Joe Joseph, who does work in classified areas. We're not really getting into that, to get his take on what's happening in the world since he was on with us about a year and a half ago. And then we have James. That's his real name, last name withheld, who sent us all his documents and photos. We'll be showing you of him inside the telecommunications companies. 30 years putting the spy grids in front of all the wiring. Now, I separately have read the Telecommunications Acts. I have interviewed whistleblowers years ago, back when really we were the first to break this stuff in 96, 97, 98. And we're on record. And the reason I was so accurate in what I broke down was I was talking to Time Warner engineers, high level. I was talking to AT&T engineers. I was talking to Bell engineers at the time. It's not called that now. And they were explaining, no, everything, the phone companies are the NSA. Everything is tracked and recorded. And now it's all out in the open. And the issue is they're targeting the Tea Partiers. They're targeting conservatives, pro-life groups, the Associated Press. They use these dragnets to have the data. Then they go get a rubber stamp FISA warrant to then try to use it in court later to persecute people that are protected under the Constitution exposing crimes. So I was thinking about all the whistleblowers we've talked to, like Wayne Madsen, who worked at the NSA, and so many others. But James, who really is a big whistleblower, is coming up. But first I wanted to get Joe Joseph, is a Navy veteran, former military contractor, and current DOD employee in a division called, we'll get him to break down what division he's in. He's been in government for a decade and is a civil servant dedicated to affecting change through leading by example. He takes the oath that he took the Constitution very seriously and is dedicated to ensuring and protecting the interest of the American taxpayer. Joe is also the program director of Unbound Radio and the host of the Freedom Link, which seeks to expose the corruption that permeates our government and society, unboundradio.com. And that's a great testament, because I remember challenging him a year and a half ago. He was saying, I'm going public. I have a right to talk about these things that are going on. We that work for the government, we have a right to free speech as long as we don't release classified information. It's that idea that pro-lifers can't speak out against abortion. The IRS, we played that yesterday saying, don't pray and don't say abortion's bad. I mean, since when can the government tell you this? Okay, you're the government. I'll do what you say. So then the last 3 months or so, they've gone out and done the very popular unboundradio.com. And so that's just an example of how you can fight back and get past the fear and then find out that there's other people out there that agree with you. In fact, just to mention this, I've been so shell-shocked by the week in England and barely any sleep that I haven't been able to process it all. There are photos on our Twitter account at Real Alex Jones, and I've got a bunch of others I haven't even posted yet because I've just got so many videos and photos. I had MI5 people. I had deputy police chiefs. I had you name it coming to me, and they weren't acting. They go, no, we know how evil they are. Believe me, we have access to classified stuff. It's worse than you think. And by the way, the Bilderberg Group's going to go public this week on BBC. Well, how do you know that? Well, you know, we've been in on the Bilderberg pre-meetings. And then I had, after the event, the police hugging me and tears in their eyes, and you're right, and, you know, we're all waking up. It's like Ceausescu's Romania, when the police and military finally, the protesters came to the communist palace, and suddenly the police all just stood down. It's like the end of the movie V for Vendetta. And I believe we're beginning to approach that point. Now, I don't want some violent clash with the government. It's buying billions of bullets. It's buying armored vehicles. It's got its main core list of 8 million people they want to come pick up. They may put those orders out to try to start a civil war because we are politically winning. And I don't just say that as a pep rally. Every indicator we have, and what the globalists are saying themselves in their own CFR reports, is they're 12 years behind for their corporate world government. The people are waking up. They're scared. So just to get a view from the inside working in the Defense Department, with what he's seeing with his colleagues in the last decade in the awakening, and to get his take just on general knowledge of what's happening, is Joe Joseph. Then we're going to talk to a bona fide whistleblower whose name, last name, is being withheld to protect him. But Joe, great to have you back on since you were last with us. You heard that long intro there. What is your overall take on the state of people within the DOD? Are they more awake or less awake than when we talked a year and a half ago?
Well, thank you for having me on, Alex. I would like to start out by saying that people are most certainly more awake. It's hard to understand, or it's hard to not see the reality. This NSA whistleblower, Ed Snowden, when he came out, it was a really good way for me to gauge just who's awake and who's not, who's paying attention, and who's still got their head in the sand, you know? And I think the last time I was on with you, I said it was about a 50-50 split. I would say it's probably still right around that. However, the people that are aware are much more aware of the severity of the situation that we're in.
Now, it may turn out that Snowden's a useful idiot being used by the Chinese. I don't think that's the case. And regardless, the Constitution states they got a duty to do this. It's not just FISA stuff here they're trying to spin it. I mean, this was a bunch of total dragnet, illegal spying. Again, they're targeting the Associated Press, you name it, government whistleblowers, with the special Q office of the NSA. But what is your gut? I mean, for me, I think Snowden is a hero. I mean, it may turn out he's been, you know, a useful idiot, but regardless, just the whole story, the quotes, the things he's saying, I know from my own deep research on this that he's telling the truth.
Right. No, I agree with you. As a matter of fact, if you go and ask anybody about, well, does the government listen in on your phone calls? Do they read your email? Everybody will admit to you that they do. They all know and are aware that that happens. But where the disconnect comes is, well, they're doing it for our safety. And really, the whole idea that it's for our safety is totally bogus. The reason why we're in the mess we're in isn't because of these terrorists that want to plant IEDs on the roadside in America and blow us up. That's not what it's all about. It's about our foreign policy. Our foreign policy is the major problem, where we are being an imperialist power going and forcing our will upon other sovereign nations for in the name of freedom and democracy. And another thing I said on my broadcast last night, I brought up the Heritage Foundation, the Freedom Index. They have a Freedom Index that lists all the countries of the world. And based on, I think, a set of 10 criteria, they rank it as far as the most free and the most oppressed. And Hong Kong, where Ed Snowden went, was ranked number one for freedom. The United States is ranked 10th. Chile is ahead of us. Mauritius is ahead of us. And Malaysia is ahead of us. So how free are we in the grand scheme of things? That's a question that everybody has to ask themselves, because they say that we're overseas in the name of freedom to protect our rights. Well, how is it protecting our rights when the NSA is blanket recording everything that we say, that we put in writing? And William Binney, the NSA whistleblower who exposed the Bluffdale, Utah facility, you know, he said it best. There are the NSA hires the most brilliant mathematicians and the most brilliant code writers out there so that they can write these elaborate algorithms that can take that information at any time, lay it out in a timeline, and they have your life in front of them. And I think you guys made a great point. I think it was Mike Adams who was filling in for you while you were at Bilderberg. He brought up a great example of how that can be used against the American people. And he used the example of Obamacare, where Justice Roberts, just at the last minute, flips his vote. And nobody can understand why it is. Here he is, a, quote, conservative judge, and he goes and rules in favor of Obamacare. Well, how do you know, and of course this is speculation, but how do you know that the shadow government side of the House didn't go flay his life out in a timeline, find all these things, piece it together, slip an envelope under the door, and say, I think you know how you need to vote?
Well, that's exactly what they do. I mean, that's exactly what they've been caught doing on the record over and over again. And it's larger than that. Why does government have all this secrecy? Because it claims that it makes it insecure if it doesn't. Well, then that makes us insecure if we don't have secrecy. One of the main marks of a free society is that you do have privacy. We all know every bad government throughout history is obsessed with spying. Free societies don't even need to do that domestically. And we know that they've used the spying to target and persecute their political enemies, but more importantly, get intelligence on what you're doing politically to illegally block you and frustrate what you're doing. They are waging war against our industry, our culture, the family. Turn on the television. And so it gives unfair trade advantage as well to the major corporations that are able to jack into this NSA data on record. They're able to use that and their competition isn't. So it's giving them almost omnipresent type surveillance across the board, and that's an unfair advantage. Plus, we paid for it constitutionally.
Yeah, absolutely. But the one thing that is very important, and I think this is why we're gaining such traction against the New World Order and these Bilderbergers and these banksters, is the fact that we have the moral high ground. They have ceded the moral high ground, and there's nothing that they can do at this point to salvage it. And as long as we maintain a consistent amount of pressure, I really see that their plans for world domination collapsing in a grandiose fashion. Now, what does that mean? Yeah. I don't know. All I do know, Alex, is that there is a heck of a lot of preparation underway for civil disturbances within the United States. So they're planning for something.
Absolutely. I mean, they're building bunkers. They're training for war with us. They're training that patriots and constitutionalists are the enemy. This is all on record. From your research and pointing out public documents that they later removed off the web and then republished, from talking to your military sources, is it economic collapse? Is it a civil war they're going to start? Why is every Western government digging in and training to take on in open warfare the general public?
Well, I look at it a couple of different ways and trying to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. A lot of the solicitations on Fed BizOps points to something along the lines of an economic collapse, perhaps even a devaluation of currency, because we know that they're printing money like it's going out of style. I mean, they're just, the printing presses are just melting down as fast as they're printing this money. You also see, you know, we have the FEMA camps, or like I like to call them, re-education centers, for those that are
in the Army manual. I mean,
Why do you think
they use the Soviet term re-education camp?
Well, because that's, I kind of relate to the movie 1984, even the book, the Orwell book 1984, in that it's a conditioning. It's a place of conditioning. Also, think about this. If you have a societal collapse, just say like a hyperinflation sets in, or even a devaluation of currency, now all of a sudden you have a lot of people in the population centers that won't be able to feed their children. And the worst or the most effective person you can run up against is a parent who has to feed a hungry child. They will stop at nothing to get food or resources for their children. And they're going to end up trying to go someplace where they're going to feel safe and protected. And what better place, you know, to come? Come to the re-education center. Come to the FEMA camp where we will take care of you and give you 3 squares a day. And all you have to do is do this work. You know, I even equate it to something along the lines of the Chinese prison labor camps or the forced labor camps.
It's forcing you into the gulag by collapse. Well, you know, in all my police state films, that's how they train the Marines and Army, that it's great. They have the role players beg to be put in the camp for food and water, but then the troublemakers are broken off. Aren't you for putting the troublemakers in another area? And that's exactly how in the Emergency Centers Establishment Act, which was to fund the expansion, it said, we're going to have entertainment, you know, music come in, and the men will be here, the women there, the kids will be here. Because, you know, the men are going to be abusive to the women in the camp. We can't have men with women. It's a prison, but it's for your safety, Joe.
Yeah, that's right. And the FEMA National Continuity Program Mission Support Services statement of work that we talked about a little over a year and a half ago talks about that. And the dissenters, the ones that aren't going to willfully go, the ones that are going to resist.
The bad men.
That's right. The founding father-esque, those terrorists, if you will.
Oh, there was a new article out today that they're doing drills in Boston for the militia bombing the public, and it said that they're American freedom supporters.
Oh, good grief.
They've got to be dealt with, yeah.
Yeah, of course. And so that's why in that document it was so important. One thing that went over was red force, blue force, to be able to identify friend from foe. Why do we need a system like that that's used in warfare overseas within the United States unless they're preparing for something? And also, why are the rich... why are the uber rich flocking to the Ozarks and building these extravagant reinforced castles and mansions and underground facilities if they're not preparing for something? So, I mean, I kind of look at it from a common sense perspective. Now, from a military side, one thing is interesting is that they're telling people not to pay attention to all these scandals. Don't believe it. It's just, don't believe that stuff. Don't pay no attention. So that's kind of discouraging, but I think that they think that the military, active duty military, are a lot more stupid than they are. And they're not. Active duty military, civil servants, they're not stupid. And if you give them the right information, they will come to the to their conclusion of, holy smokes, man, we've been duped. You know, we're not supporting the Constitution. We're shredding it. Holy smokes. I mean, John Boehner went on ABC this weekend and called Mr. Snowden a traitor, saying that he broke the law in exposing this. Really? Last time I checked, the Fourth Amendment is part of the supreme law of the land. So, if he broke the law, he wouldn't have broke the law had it not been broken to begin with by Congress, the president, and the NSA.
And as he pointed out, they're just grabbing everything, and the government admitted that. Oh, we took all Verizon customers just in one program, and then we handed it over to the White House, who then uses it to politically persecute people. You know what I don't get is, the power structure is in control. They've already got everything. They're already looting $85 billion a month of taxpayer money to foreign banks. They're already shooting our kids up with deadly vaccines. They've already feeding us GMO. Our cancer rates are off the charts. They're winning. But they're now starting to lose the mind of the people because they're pushing so hard. But is it just that instinct of the tyrants to dominate us and to extinguish the light of liberty? I mean, will their overzealousness be what finally backfires on them?
That's a good question. I know that Thomas Jefferson said, enlighten the people generally, and tyranny and oppression will vanish like the dark at the dawn of the day. And the problem is all of this corruption, all of these nefarious plans that the banksters, that the globalists, that the Bilderbergers, all of these, the CFR-controlled mainstream media, what they're doing, all these plans are now coming into the light. And that's what happens. What happens to the dark when lights shine on it, it vanishes, it's gone. And the problem that I see is that because the American people have been so complacent for so long, they've been able to put certain things in place to where, let's just say that you have a general uprising. Well, they have certain things in place to mitigate those types of things. The only thing is that I don't know how effective that will be because there are so many American people, like, for example, armed. Admiral Yamamoto said, you know, there's a gun behind every blade of grass. You'd be insane to invade mainland United States. And he's absolutely right. Would the powers that be decide, well, let's nuke them. That'll do it. Well, what happens to the land after you nuke it? It's pretty much worthless.
But the globalists have to get rid of the resistance in America to have their world government. You know, I've looked at history. I've studied different resistance movements. What they'll do is they'll over-respond. They will persecute and kill people. And then people's families aren't going to go out and engage the police in an armored vehicle or the feds out in the middle of the street. They're going to go to a bar where they're at. Or somebody's wife, you know, they've killed the husband, is going to go in a bar, and things are going to happen, you know, there. Things are going to happen in the bathroom. I mean, things are going to happen out in the, at somebody's apartment. I mean, once this thing really gets going, man, I would not want to be somebody working for the government. And I think you're going to see that immediate break happen where people that are in the government are going to be forced to declare which side they're on. And I think if early on, if it goes to blows, it's important for people in government right now to be having a discussion, but also these corporations. See, that's why they're moving everything into corporations, giving the corporations the government power, thinking that then people won't be able to target it all. But that's not going to work either.
No, it's not. I just wrote an article entitled The U.S. to Crack Down on Heretics in Orwellian Power Grab. It's amazing. When you're a student of history, you go back and you look. And this just reeks, and the parallels are striking between what happened to the reformers during the medieval period of history.
And the Inquisition?
And the Inquisition. It's striking the parallels. Why, that person's a heretic. How dare he say to read the Bible? And how dare he say the Catholic Church is apostate? Really? And that's the issue. Now, it's how dare he speak out against the government? I mean, after all, we're looking out for your safety. So it's, they're basically labeling Snowden and Binney and all these other whistleblowers as heretics. And I think you're going to come to see in the months and the years ahead that it's going to ramp up. It's going to ramp up quick, where more and more people are going to be called and labeled heretics and terrorists and traitors, when in fact, it's the exact opposite. They're the ones that are sticking up for the truth. They're the ones that are maintaining the moral high ground, but they're going to be martyrs, I guess you could say, in the grand scheme of things, for freedom, for liberty. And it's funny because I wish more people out there took the time and unplugged from the television and plugged in to the history books and start to really see that all of these things, all these events that we're living through now, we've been through before. You know,
well, I think that's an important point. Why did the founders say, don't spy on somebody without a warrant, and then list a person, place, paper, things to be searched, an oath or affirmation, you can face your accuser? Now you can't face the fake informants for their fake warrants. You certainly can't face the NSA. Government is hiding behind a wall of national security, and the corporations are hiding behind that. But then we're told we don't have that shield. It's just incredibly hypocritical, and it's fraudulent. But we know every state that goes to spying becomes an authoritarian nightmare. I mean,
That's right.
It's not like we haven't been through this before over and over again.
That's right. Now, and I'm all for a strong national defense. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we need to defend ourselves. But we do not need to be imperialists. We do not need to go to places like Afghanistan or go and kill Gaddafi for the banksters because Gaddafi wanted to set up a free and independent Africa.
And then put Al-Qaeda in charge.
And then put Al-Qaeda in charge, of all people. The state-sponsored terrorism list, a numero uno, Al-Qaeda. Or, oh, by the way, let's just give $250 million and tanks and F-16s to the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. You know? Meanwhile, you have federal employees being furloughed at home, and you're sending $250 million to Egypt. That one thing right there, Alex, let me tell you something. That one thing was probably one of the most effective tools that I could use to help illustrate the dysfunctionality and where reality really is. That helps snap a lot of people out.
Well, that was my next question. It's funny you bring that up. We're almost out of time here. I want you to make any other points you think are important before we go to this whistleblower from telecommunications. And it's this. When they put actual Al-Qaeda in Libya and now in Syria, even more openly, the number I saw yesterday was $1 billion to the Syrian rebels, over 60% of them actual card-carrying Al-Qaeda, not just affiliated with Al-Qaeda out of Qatar and Saudi Arabia. The starting the war with Assad, who's not offensively doing anything, just insane, that has finally woken up so many neocons and mainline conservatives that I know going, now you get it, now you understand. And that's my point. The establishment's narrative is unraveling at every angle. I think they're burning down right now. But then I secondarily know that then they may pull a rabbit out of their hat because they know that their whole narrative has fallen apart. So what's happening with that narrative in the military, and what rabbits may they pull out of their hat?
Well, now that's the thing. It never, ever comes to fruition the way that I envision it. Like, for example, you know, you think about these events, these false flag events that go down, and you try and you pay attention, but sometimes it's off in left field. So I have no idea how they're going to go about doing it. I know that they're desperate and that they have to because of the scrutiny that the IRS is under and because of the scrutiny now that the NSA is under and all of these scandals in Washington. What I don't like and what I don't appreciate is the fact that there's still a lot of American people out there that are just very apathetic about this whole thing, and that, well, I'm not concerned about politics. I don't follow that stuff. But you have to. I mean, this is your government that's supposed to represent you, and you are funding our demise. You know, that's one of the things I often wish that there was enough people out there that could say, you know what, I'm not having my income tax withdrawn from my paycheck. Instead, I'm going to put it in escrow. And when the United States government comes correct, I'll be glad to pay my taxes. But until then, you're not getting a red cent. And if enough people actually went and did that and participated in mass civil disobedience of that nature, this would come crashing down tomorrow.
Absolutely. And I got to say this, they put out this Pew poll where they can target certain demographics and say 56% of Americans like being spied on. Almost everybody I talk to is upset about it. They don't like it. They feel disempowered. It's like this poll I saw in the Denver Post a month ago by a Democratic Party polling group saying majority of Americans don't want to own guns anymore when the sales and the culture and the TV shows show the opposite. I mean, you put any gun show on TV, it's a huge success. Gun sales, you know, hundreds of millions of guns. It's total crap. And and they put these polls out saying you want to be spied on. But let's say 99% say they want to be spied on. It doesn't matter. In a republic, I have my rights.
That's right.
To run my life, my children, everything, regardless of what 99% of you want to do. If 51% want to make black people slaves again, they can go to hell. Because the true interpretation of the Bill of Rights Constitution, Declaration of Independence, says that's a fraud. And sure, people had to fight and stand up to enforce that, but it was done. And nothing is ever given. It's taken. And these thugs are taking our liberty. They're trespassing on us, and it's time to stand up to them. But what do you want to say in closing, other points that you'd like to make? Because, you know, think about, you're off the show. What did you wish you would have said? Say it now.
Well, let me say this about those statistics. Mark Twain said it best in Chapters from My Autobiography. He said there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. 100% of cancer patients, Alex, drink water. I can take any statistic and skew it to the way I need it to be. Oh, my gosh, water causes cancer. I can't drink water anymore. But that's not true. You have a Congress with an approval rating in the teens. You have a president with an approval rating of 45% and two-thirds of the American public that don't trust what the mainstream media tells them. And you're telling me that 56% of the American people like being spied on, that they feel safer because of it? It's total and complete bunk. And the critical thing that we need to do, each and every one of us, is reach out and give this information to your loved ones, to your friends, to your family, especially those that are serving in America's armed forces, because they need to understand the beast that they are representing. They really need to come to grips with that. And I think once they face it, they'll have a whole new understanding, and there'll be a second thought before they follow that unlawful order.
Absolutely. And all of this is color of law. There was an article about police in Alabama setting up checkpoints. And I've been through similar ones before where they call it a road survey. But this one they took blood samples from.
Oh, unbelievable. And, disgusting.
And they have little bitty signs in the back saying these are volunteers, as if that makes it okay. And the people under Stockholm Syndrome are scared, and most of them let them do it. And they said it's okay. You know, they didn't have to.
But it's funny. It's funny you say that, because I've also heard, you know, where five monkeys are in a cage and they dangle a banana from the top of the cage. And every time a monkey goes up to get that banana, the scientist takes a fire hose and they blast them with the fire hose. And eventually they know if they go in and they reach for that banana that they're going to get blasted with the fire hose, so they don't do it. And then you add another monkey that hasn't been subject to all of that conditioning, and that monkey goes up and reaches for the banana, and the scientist doesn't spray him with the hose because he doesn't have to, because the other five monkeys pull him down. And they say, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. That's not allowed.
Right. That's right. That's why every time I fly through TSA, I point out, hey, you know these scanners they're using to scan the luggage? Those aren't properly shielded. Look at the studies. You're going to die. Oh, a bunch of you're getting cancer? They're like, yeah. Oh, by the way, you know, they injected people with syphilis, by the way. And then some of them over go, why are you causing an issue? Are you a terrorist? This happened in Dallas. I said, no, I'm like the government that ships in the narcotics. I'm not like the government that, you know, did all this. And then I make a bigger scene in there, and then they try to hurriedly get me out. I will not. The difference between a human and an animal is humans can override Pavlovian conditioning. We can override pain. We can override caring. We can override fear. And I'm telling you, that's what's going to make or break this. I mean, I don't want to confront these people. I don't want to get in their face. I don't want to sit there and do all this, but I have to, because there's a greater pain of total enslavement at the end of this thing if I don't do it. And that's what it comes down to. We have to get aggressive. And I agree with you. I run a big media operation for alternative media, and it's as much as I can do just to keep it going, so I pick my battles. But I am getting more and more to the point where it's time to stop complying with even reasonable stuff. Because you got to put yourself against the machinery till it stops when it's already running you over. With a steamroller, go ahead.
And to be honest with you, something that's very important to me and a lot of listeners out there, I hope that they understand too. Spiritual grounding is a very important component of it, because when you learn that you don't live for this life, you live for the next life, it takes the fear away instantly. It takes that fear away, and there's nothing that can stop you. You know, that's why I'm talking to you now, because I don't fear any consequence, because the consequence of me not acting out is so much worse in my heart and in my mind, and what my children will have to suffer through in 10 years or so, or 15 years, that it's unfathomable to me. I can't not act. So that's why.
Well, that's right. And again, by attacking the machinery, so many good people in the system who won't speak up are like the oil pump or the electrical system of the steamroller that's running you over. We can't just attack the big hard steel roller. We've got to go at the tires, at the driver, at everything, getting in their face about what's happening, because it's their job to slam on the brake. It's their job to do something. So that's my point, is more and more we've just got to resist the corrupt controllers at every level. And that means just putting ourselves against the machinery. Listen, I really want to thank you for joining us. Joe Joseph, people can find out more at unboundradio.com or freedomlink.net. Thank you so much for spending time with us. We look forward to speaking to you again soon.
It's a pleasure, Alex. God bless you.
God bless you. Okay, we're going to get our next guest on here. But first off, I just want to point out a few articles that broke today. The TSA and Homeland Security are openly announcing and putting bids out for these little command and control booths that are going to be set up on the highways, riot control simulations that they're preparing for. The list just goes on and on. And why are they gearing up for riot control situations? Why are they funding these mobile kits to get ready for this? Because they're collapsing society by design under an Agenda 21 program. They've done this in the third world over and over again, and that's what's so frustrating. And separately from that, we have an article that links through to Radar Online that got the documents that I was just talking about with the last guest, where they've got 8 million Americans on a list where, if the government wants to, they're saying they will scoop you up off the street under Maine Corps. And this is what federal marshals blew the whistle on about 5 years ago to the Denver Post, was that if a child takes a photo at the airport with their 35-millimeter disposable camera, they're put on a terrorist list. If you order a vegetarian meal in an airplane, that puts you on it. If you take a photo of a bridge for a class in architecture, you're put on the list. 8 million people are now on it, 2 million on the no-fly list. You don't know why you get on, you can't get off. That's the essence of tyranny. Meanwhile, our government is funding Al-Qaeda in Libya and Syria on record, $1 billion to them in just the last year in Syria alone. Our government gives $85 billion a month of our money to foreign banks and won't give Congress the details. And see, they think they're going to announce all this and announce they're spying on us, and it's going to scare us, just like they've been persecuting whistleblowers for 4 years, and now more are coming out. They don't get it. The American people I know are not scared. They have been decadent. They have been lazy. They've been having a good time. I don't blame them. And being pushed around is going to backfire on these globalists, because the globalists are the most cowardly people. To go check the mailbox, they got 5 bodyguards. Okay? And they think we're like them. And it's absolutely backfiring on them what's happening. Now, our next guest will just go as James Knox. James is his first name. We won't say his last name. And he sent us his documentation and all the rest of it, and photos and info. And when I saw the interview he did last week with Rob Dew when I was in London covering Bilderberg, I had interviewed, as you know, telecommunications whistleblowers in Austin back in the mid-90s. And back then it was so bombshell, people couldn't believe it, that Time Warner cable boxes had microphones and listened to you two ways and were wired into NSA hubs, and that AT&T had whole rooms that everything wired through and all this. Now that's all public because of a series of whistleblowers. So that's why when I saw the interview while I was over in London one night, I was staying up watching PrisonPlanet.tv, I saw James Knox, last name withheld to protect him somewhat, and it just all clicked. But he's got more of the modern data since I last talked to whistleblowers more than a decade ago, specifically on these systems, and we're showing some of the photos he sent us. And he didn't just work in mainline telecommunications as an engineer. He worked in critical infrastructure, and that's a key word. So he talked to us a day before Snowden broke. Okay, so we're going to get his take on that. But what's happening is there's more and more people going public about what they know and what happens. My first wake-up call was in 1996 when they put in the EAS alert systems, and I talked to the engineer over five local radio stations that happened to run the engineering for our station. He said, listen, you see this system? This isn't wired in here so we can flip to an emergency call. It's out at the tower, and it's here. And he went on to say, we're putting these in at the cable system to take over, but there's a whole other room locally so that they can monitor everything. So I talked about that on air, not saying the engineer had given it to me. He said, you can talk about it, just don't say I gave it to you. And then that's when other engineers came to me. And, I mean, back then, this was like being a Martian with five heads. So my point is, inadvertently, I have become an expert on this because I've worked in media and have been living right next to the stuff. And then I was invited into Time Warner. I was invited into the University of Texas. I was invited into all this stuff. Over the years, once I talked to one, I talked to two, I talked to three. I didn't burn those people. And so more talk to me. Now this guy, he's going to point out he's not even really a whistleblower. He's an insider speaking out, but he's telling you what is all above board, and he can tell you, but it's still extremely revealing. So, James, thank you so much for talking to us, buddy. You've got the floor, because if you don't, I'll start interrupting. tell folks about what you did, what you saw, and how it ties into what's currently happening.
Okay, Alex, I tell you what. First off, no fear, no quarter. And people need to think that way because they can't take away what they didn't give you. So I just want to say that. So as far as what I did, and to kind of maybe, I don't know, by way of what I've done, I've known of you since the very beginning of your career. And, you know, I've kind of followed you off and on throughout the years. And then around about, Thanksgiving, cause I haven't had, TV. I mean, I have a 60 inch, beautiful flat screen, but we don't have any satellite or any, cable or any of that stuff. You know, I go out and I seek my media as I wish. My TV's connected, all that. And, you know, I'm obviously aware of the risks and I can discuss that as well. But I started watching, I found InfoWars and just really dove in and plugged myself back into the media pipe. And I started listening to you. And the one thing I'll say that I find, with listening to Alex Jones and InfoWars and anything associated with you, there's not much sugarcoating. I can't prove you wrong, as far as what is cited and links, cause I've tried just by my nature. This particular aspect, what I'm talking about, is my bread and butter. It's what I've loved. And I stayed in this business my whole life because I love it. And I've made good money at it. That being said, I never hear anybody, and when these so-called experts come on, most times they have no clue what they're talking about, and I know it, but nobody else does. I listen to you, and I'm thinking, yeah, he gets it, man. He understands Kalia. He's read this stuff. So I think people need to understand, because people like, you know, yeah, Alex is twisted and all that, and I mentioned that in the previous interview. You know, that's a bunch of nonsense, and I think most people know that, but you know, I'm in the business, so I guess that's supposed to mean that what I have to say has some greater bearing. Well, maybe it does, but what I'm saying is simply based on my experience. And my experience shows that Alex Jones is telling the truth.
Well, thank you. I mean, but I was only taught this by engineers like yourself, but people couldn't believe it. Tell folks what you've worked in, what you've seen, what you can tell us that doesn't violate any non-disclosure about these snooping hubs.
Okay, so the snooping hubs, per se, and okay, I'm gonna take that snooping hubs. I'm gonna put that over here. Okay, what I've done is I've worked for the energy companies, which is all the oil companies, gas pipelines, things of this nature. I've worked for the FAA, other government agencies that shall remain nameless. And all these things. So that's where it comes into critical infrastructure. The thing that I've worked on are the telecommunications networks that support the telephone system, the cellular system, the gas pipeline system, the grid, everything. All of these things function, especially today, because of integrated networks. In order for these things to function, you have to not only monitor this data, but you have to collect this data at one single source where you can monitor and manipulate it. You know, in a network operations center or a power control operations center and things of those in that nature. So I've worked for the utilities. Being a telecom guy, say for a utility, and I used to work for a county utility, government agency, and I had the keys to the kingdom, which as a telecom guy, we always have the keys to the kingdom. And in this case, it was such that if I had chosen to be a bad guy or a terrorista or whatever you wanted to say, I just flipped out one day and decided to use my knowledge for nefarious purposes coupled with my access, I could have shut down the power to the Capitol building in Sacramento, California. Like that. Me, myself, and I. Could have done a lot of other things, too. I could have done some seriously nefarious things and actually monitored that, set it up so that I could control it from my house. I had control anyway because all I had to do was RAS in, which means there's what's known as a RAS token, and it generates a number. This was actually also hacked, too, at one point. And this allows you to access the private grid network at the utility I worked for via the internet. You know, it's HTTPS or HTTPS type of thing. So, see, I could go on and on about what I've done, Alex. So I don't know, does that give you enough of an idea or do you want me to broaden it out into the cellular and the telephone before
Listen, you're the expert. Go where you want. But a day after you started talking to us, Snowden comes out and that's what he said. He said, look, any rogue analyst could dial into anything you want. And I've talked to FBI agents and others who told me 5 years before it came out, we can turn cars off with OnStar. Because you can turn it on, it can turn it off. We can lock you in. We can lock you out. We can listen to you. And then it all came out. I mean, my point is they've built all these back doors, all these other functions. And what you're saying is the way this stuff's built, it's got to surveil everything to work. But the problem is then they use that to then surveil us.
Right. Let me jump forward to that. Okay. So now that we've kind of, you know, covered the aspect of the things that I've been focused on. So then they did this thing, and this is going to jump right into the telecommunications and the PSTN, which is the public switch telephone network. And then you've also, which provides service to POTS lines, which is plain old telephone service, which is a singular line to your house. And then it goes into a switch, which is at a central office. And then that goes out to a bigger pipeline, which then goes out to another switch to a bigger pipeline. And then it all integrates. And, you know, I don't want to go into all the aspects of that. So this is our network. Well, this legislation came out called CLIA, and it was part of the telecommunications. Well, it was associated with the TCA of 96. And there's some differences. In my mind, it was all part of the same thing. So anyway, what this allowed was a point of presence, so a physical layer access. And this is what's critical. It is a physical layer access, which means there is a physical point of presence in every central office everywhere in the United States, and I'm quite sure probably everywhere in the Western world.
So let me just stop you there. I want you to elaborate. In the old days, they had to go place a wiretap on that line. Now it's hardwired into a wall where it's already tapped. It's just ready for them to access it.
Right. If you go back and look at the laws for taps and tap and trace, it comes down like this. You have what's known as a pin trace, and that's kind of like the metadata thing, okay? But a pin trace would just show you, I mean, way back when we had key switches, that would show you what numbers were being accessed. So what it would do, it would record the digits. And the search warrant would specifically say that. Then there's what's known as a tap and trace. And that's where you can actually get into gleaning the data. That's why I would recommend to everybody in this day and age, talk over your cell phone. If they decide to use it against you, at least you have case law after case law history that you can fight with. Email doesn't provide that. Plus, email has data persistence that at this point is going to last forever. So I digress there. I'm sorry, Alex. You got to redirect me. I get to
talk. No, you're kidding. I mean, this is important because we're explaining how some of this basic stuff works. Specifically, though, looking at Snowden and the things he said, knowing what you know, is from your perspective, is it accurate?
Absolutely accurate. And I'll tell you, Alex, when that came out, I was pretty much floored because I had just talked to Rob, and I was basically saying those things. I believe I said something about it being easy as a fellow sitting there at the keyboard, And, okay, what do I want to play with today? Let's see, James Knox, and let's see what he's into today. Oh, my God, he wants to be, he wants to talk to Alex Jones, you know. And then they go on, and they dig a little deeper, and they dig a little deeper. And, you know, that brings forth a real big point where, you know, this isn't, and I think people get confused because, you know, when we say they're surveilling you, that's an absolute fact. And are they surveilling all of us? Yes, absolutely. But that doesn't mean that there's a fellow sitting there in front of a monitor watching you day to day. It only becomes important when, for whatever reason, you know, and it could be just sheer boredom, that they run across you, like this guy Snowden. But I'm not gonna try to, you know,
exactly. It like goes into a database, it goes into a container, almost like food in your refrigerator. And if they want to go in there and look into it, but my big issue is how easy it is for them with this system to put data into your computer. I mean, how easy is it to set people up?
That depends on the person, and I know how I'd like to say this, but it's probably not very kind, and I'm not a very good politically correct person. Most people are truly naive. I have over 20 email addresses that are active. They're all monitored. Now, I don't email near that much. I do it like that so that I can shed an email address. If I start getting any type of negative email on a specific address, I shed that address. I, as a matter of course, shed an address probably every 6 months, just out of function of habit, and I could go into the whole reasons why. And this, again, brings forth what I'm trying to get at, as I have a bunch of things that I do in order to protect myself. Right now, because I'm online with you, I have resource monitor pulled up, and I'm looking at network to look at what's communicating over the pipeline at my computer. So it's very, to answer your question just directly, it's simple. It's as simple as monitoring you, if they want to take that access and hit you from the internet. Because when I'm talking about the central access point or central office point of presence access, that is different from the PRISM access. Now, they function the same. They're not legally the same. And in reality, the internet pop, or tap, if you like, because that's exactly what it is. It's just sitting there. Nobody knows it. And it's just, it's making a copy of every zero and one that passes by its lens, as it were. So everything's there. And it's being sucked up and just being stuffed in a box and then later compartmentalized to be accessed by Snowden or anybody else. Just that simple. Now, the problem for me, all this stuff becomes illegal. And I used to talk about the legal issues, but it seems to me the Constitution has been just thrown out the window because all these things they're doing are illegal. When this stuff was set up, it was never intended for this to happen. And there are protections that set it up. The way they've gotten around this is because they're pulling this national security Bravo Sierra and saying, oh, the boogeyman, we need this. They're not catching anybody but innocent Americans that are being harassed by their government.
Again, without violating any of your non-disclosures or any of those areas, we were talking off air earlier today before you agreed to come back on. You were saying in some cases when you were setting stuff up, there wasn't even one of those done because this is all done just cut and dry across the system. What specifically can you tell people about the type of systems that are out there? I mean, here's an example. I was told by a Time Warner engineer, one of the chief engineers at the time, he since died, so I can talk about it. He was an older guy. He said, don't even mention, you know, that I'm at Time Warner. I just said Time Warner is doing this. He gave me plans, documents, how the Scientific Atlantic cable box had a microphone years before this was used in interaction. And he said, that thing's live. All I know is I wire into these fiber optic cables that have been put in that are U.S. government, and that I've got to have people there making sure that's going through. And basically, if that ever shuts down, we have to shut your cable off until that's back up, under these agreements. And I said, well, where do I prove this? He said, well, here's some documents, but look at the Telecommunications Act from 96. It's like 2 years after that. It's all right there. That's the only reason I can tell you this. And then I told people that, and it sounded crazy. So then we saw, you know, a decade later, Janet Jackson's breast pops out, and TiVo says, oh, we had 2.2 million rewinds, replays. People went, how did you know that? You know, the point is, much of what we talk about is, it's just hiding in plain view. So then how do they try to arrest Snowden, Edward Snowden, for saying things when Petraeus said last year, hey, we listened to you over your dishwasher now. I'm trying to figure that out is what I'm saying. Because what you said today before we talked was, hey, man, this stuff's all out in the open. I'm not worried. I'll talk to you. But then how do they try to arrest him?
Well, there's the difference, and that's why I made the point of that I have never been read on to anything that I'm speaking about. So all I'm speaking about is either proprietary material from whatever manufacturers or, you know, proprietary engineering documents, just in the course of my business is what I'm talking about. I'm not violating any agreements with anybody. And I just happen to know through my own research that all this stuff is in the legislation and it's been codified and it's all there. I used to take, you know, okay, I went into the service when I was 19. Young, dumb, and full of whatever. And I just rock and rolled, man. I loved it. I loved basic training. I got busted for cracking a guy during bayonet training because I got a little too excited and I knocked him out. But, so I dove in. I think I told Rob they had asked me to go to West Point and all this stuff. So I ended up being a CompSec, assistant CompSec custodian. And I used to do some things and this and that. So 20 years old.
So that's how you got fast tracked into telecommunications because you were an Army guy made man.
Exactly. So I basically got woken up the day that I was allowed to access or see SCI, which is secure compartmentalized information. And I hope that that's not classified. So anyway, moving forward, that's how I you know, it was immersion therapy into this business for me. And then I came out of this and I got into the critical infrastructure business and I see all this stuff. So back to the question of Snowden. So here he comes in. Now I was talking about all this stuff back then, being called crazy like you, yet I'm doing it. I knew about the cable boxes. I think that was like an 8,800 box or something you were speaking of.
Yeah, that was
8,000. Yeah, that's funny.
No, it said 8,800 Scientific Atlantic. Yeah, you got good. Yeah.
See, that's what says I'm pulling this stuff out of my memory. I'm not prepping for this.
No, but you're doing it and people are going to watch this and deny it. They are in such denial. I mean, it's...
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And they, to this day, I watched the YouTube channel from which you guys posted and just overwhelming positive, a couple of trolls. And then some people were coming back with that. Going, this guy's full of it. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? You can easily go and, you know, look up Kalia, you know, the things I talked about. You can easily prove that. Listen to Alex, what he has been talking about forever. This is all facts. So I don't know, Alex. I honestly have a real hard time because I love to share with people. And that's what I came on because, you know, I'm not here for any agenda other than to try to get people to understand that they're missing the bus.
Yeah, but look at the comments. They're like 97% positive. I wouldn't let people. I mean, look, I had Mike Judge on, you know, the creator of Beavis and Butthead, King of the Hill, all of it, got a new HBO show. And people made jokes saying, that's not really Mike Judge, or I can do a better Beavis and Butthead. And they just do that to try to manipulate us and get us off subject. But it's important to respond to it sometimes to show the other viewers of this how they're being manipulated, because it's not for you or me that they're doing this. They're there to take somebody new who didn't work in telecommunications or who doesn't know what I know and just make them think it's bull. They're there to just say, this is not an assault. Don't run where your friends, you know, like Mars Attacks when the aliens are shooting us with ray guns. So expanding on this, when you see, you know, 5-6 years ago, Bush saying, we don't listen to anything without warrants. Well, you know, the Telecommunications Act says it's all being, you know, recorded. It's all being run through grids. That doesn't mean they're looking at it all, but that's a lie. Now it's, okay, we're listening to you without warrants, but Obama, this cryptic statement of, if you don't trust us, things are going to get bad. What does that mean?
To me, it means that constitutional rule in this country has been subverted fully. Because if we go back and we jump back, and I spoke to this with Rob and Carnivore, we didn't really get into it, but I threw it out there, and I threw it out there for a purpose. And that purpose is that goes right to this argument, because when Carnivore was being discussed on the Senate floor, that's what they were discussing was, hey, look, Carnivore, hey, guys, it takes it all, but trust us, it's okay. There was huge clamor within America. No way, we don't want this, no way. All of a sudden, because this individual, this is where I have to be careful because I'm very upset about this in particular, is all of a sudden saying that what has been held to people's hearts in this country and what I swore to die doing, if it is necessary, comes out and says, hey, it's okay. Yeah, the elephant's in the living room, but it's an Obama elephant, just like an Obama phone. Don't you feel good and safe and warm and fuzzy? And that's the way I see it. And some of the comments of the people that agree with the fact that we need this stuff is exactly on that wavelength where, oh, but we got to find the terrorists. We got to hunt the terrorists. And they just don't understand that it's like a 12-year-old kid sitting there, and he knows that in the room next door is, oh, who's the hottest babe of the day?
There's a lot of them.
Okay, let's go with that. And obviously, I don't, my wife.
The hottest woman you can imagine.
Right. He's in there. The next room. And so what's this 12-year-old kid going to do? If you tell him, no, 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 I'm going to cut your legs off if you go peek. But you and I both know you're going to peek. And this is what's happening. And because they've been able to find this loophole and say, hey, this is legal, and twist it to say it's legal, then they're not feeling bad. So it's all a lie. It's all a smokescreen. It's all gaslighting, and it's all bad. And it is America needs to understand that we have a tyrant, the man who would be king, that is sitting there and, you know, out of the left side of his mouth, he's saying he understands the Constitution. What people don't get is the way this man understands the Constitution is he figured out how to destroy it.
Well, that's right. There's a new tape out of him saying in 2001, the Constitution is negative rights, and it's getting in the way of me giving you this whole heaven. And again, I get these presidents are puppets, but I got to say, under Obama, they have light sped. Everything they're doing is just accelerating right now in everybody's face. And then to see them use spying on the Tea Party. We had Congressman Stockman on. He was talking about that. Spying on the rest of the Congress, spying on the cloakroom. And then no one gets in trouble. We're at this crossroads. If they don't get in trouble for this, then the dam breaks, the sky's the limit.
Yes, and that's what I see, is that nobody's putting up resistance. They're not doing their jobs. They're not living up to their oaths, you know. If I could be Drill Sergeant Knox again and go out there and shoot backside, boy, I would love every minute of it.
Well, listen, I just appreciate you, as somebody that works in telecommunications, talking to people about what's out there and what's going on. Imagine this interview being over and points that you wish you would have made. Make those, and then I've got a question about how they're privatizing it. Google, Facebook, more than a dozen big sites getting paid by the government to actually collate and give them the data, and then building new systems to get you to give them your data. It's like Facebook, who calls their users dumb effers, will tell people, don't criticize Obama going after your guns or we'll ban your account. We've gotten the messages here. And then they'll say, is this your high school friend to authenticate at your site? I'm like, I forgot about that high school friend. All they're doing is using me to database that is indeed. They're actually humetting the public now to do intelligence work on other people. This is sick. This is sick.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. And I can certainly speak to that. But to the first one, This subject is so vast. I have so much to say.
Well, say it. You got the floor. Go ahead.
No, I know. I just, what I'm getting at is that I'll always come up with more things that I want to say. But, you know, I would like to address, this, and it's from the first interview, because I have answered every email that I got, and this is all new to me. I've never done anything like this before. I have no online presence just because that's the way I operate. And I've met some really cool people, and like you said, everything has been positive. Been on the phone with a few people. I talked to a fellow last night, named Bart, it's Bulldog Investigations in San Diego, and he works out of there. You know, if anybody needs that in that area, this fella is really cool. We have spent, I think, in the last 3 days, about 10 hours on the phone, if that says anything. I also met another individual he's a custom knife maker named Don, and it's Stebbins Knives. Beautiful, I mean, artwork, beautiful Damascus stuff, and that's something I'm into and long have been. So it was really cool that these people reached out to me, and it felt really good because, you know, then I all of a sudden knew that what I have to say does matter to people, and people do listen, and it gives me hope because I think we all got to have hope. And I know people bust up on you, Alex, for saying you're a fearmonger, and maybe I just don't get that because I think you're nothing but positive. Because in the end, you're always pushing the positive message of we can prevail. And you know,
exactly. I want to know the intelligence of what the enemy's doing so we can beat them. People think when I tell them all this bad stuff, I'm trying to scare them. And I guess they're just cowards. Because for me, I mean, I want to know what the enemy's doing, the whole truth, like Patrick Henry said, and make preparation for it.
Well, the only way... I'm a big fan of Sun Tzu, The Art of War, written in 6 BC, and I don't remember how he says it, but, you know, you don't go to war until you know you're going to win. Well, the only way you're going to know you're going to win is to know what the other guy's capabilities are. And that's what I'm trying to tell people. I'm trying to give people an idea of what the capabilities they have. I don't need to sit here and tell everybody that they're being spied on and over and over again. But, you know, and blame people, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get people to understand the big picture that everything Alex Jones has said and is talking about the spy system, pay attention. Go out and read it.
Well, here's my point that I want to get your take on, because I think it's expanding on what you were just talking about, James. As individuals, whether you're in the military, a corporate person, a school teacher, whoever you are, when I was over in England and the majority of the cops were on our side and come over and say, we know what's going on, with tears in their eyes, I would say, why are you concerned? They go, my family, the future. Humans get a threat at an instinctive level. And they understand this technology and who controls it is overwhelming the individual. And people get this is bad. They don't like the fact that we're getting beat here by this. And it could be neutral technology if bad people weren't running it. It's not the technology that's bad. It's that bad people have been able to control the architecture of it. And I think humanity's finally getting that, hey, it's not good guys running this. And, you know, we should never have trusted them. So my point is the individual, I think, is waking up to the fact. And even people that work for the system realize in their gut that they're walking the plank here, that this is not going to be good for anybody in human development. What's your take on that?
I think that's, you hit the nail on the head. And what they've created is, you know, this thing called a panopticon. And what people don't understand is that Google, Facebook, all these things, I mean, the Google headquarters is right next door to the NSA box in Mountain View. It's just a fact. Google Blimp. I find that quite funny because the reason they're doing that is because Moffett Field, which is right next door, was a dirigible base during World War II. My grandfather redid the concrete floors there. At 5 years old, I was running around Moffett Field. Actually, I got introduced to NSA when I was a kid. Maybe that had something to do with where I ended up, but as soon as I heard a Google Blimp, I'm thinking, okay, they're reaching out another thing. But that's just another connection. You know, when Gerald Celente, who I love Gerald, and I got to do something for him.
Hey, we've got that button. We've got that button here in the office. You know, it's funny. Alexander Haig wanted to launch blimps because they're cheaper with all the intelligence arrays. And then the public's gotten upset by them, so they're going to launch the NSA surveillance blimps with Google on them. So yes. Then it's all cute and funny, and, oh, they've got yes. that new Vince Vaughn movie about Google coming out. Oh, it's so sweet. Oh.
Right. Well, that's what I was trying to get at was, you know, how Gerald always talks about corporatism, government, fascism by definition. And I think he really nails it with that. And that's what we see. And I think that that's what people need to realize. And I don't think they understand that that the incept of Facebook, the incept of Google, these things, DARPA was in there. And others that, you know, I have my assumptions, but I can't prove it, so I probably shouldn't say it. But we know, you know, alphabet soup.
Now, James, here's another question. Were you mid-level, high-level? How would you describe your position where you were able to basically dial into telecommunications of millions of people, shut down the Capitol, you know, do all sorts of stuff, and then tying it into Edward Snowden when he says analysts could do that? I mean, just guesstimating, how many people then do you think are able to tie into these networks and do this?
Okay, well, that specific part at this point, I'm really afraid because I think it's far more than I realize because it could be, you know, it could be as few as 10 or as many as tens of thousands. It's just that simple. And I don't
know. Were you mid-level or high level?
Well, me, and that's what I was going to say. See, there's probably, I don't know, last time I looked, there's probably 50,000 of me in the U.S. today. I'm a dying breed. I am a transport engineer. So that means, and microwave was what, and fiber optics, those are my two big loves. So I'm a high-level guy because I have the keys to the kingdom, but I've never had access like Snowden did. I mean, if I wanted to make access for myself like that, I very easily could have done so, but I wouldn't do that, you know. So the access that I've had comes from just the nature of what I do because I maintain all those systems. I have to, you know, feed them and clean them and do the programming and just keep everything going, you know, and then I build them.
You're physically in the guts.
Yeah, I'm the guy that, you know, if the network that I physically engineer and build and maintain goes away, none of this works.
Wow. And you're saying there's 50,000 of you.
Yeah. And what they've done, see, I went in the military. I was a 26 Victor. My school was a year long. The first 2 months were straight up hardcore basic electronic theory. And then we went into, equipment and systems after that. I've worked on everything from the very first Collins radios all the way up to, the last big project I did was a big OC48 metro network with 44, nodes. And I set the whole thing up. Every test and acceptance document had to and does have my signature on it. So that's where I lived in the world. I don't really look at it as mid-level or high-level because I'm over here in kind of this, you know, wonderland that nobody really knows about and nobody understands. Does that make sense?
No, I totally get it. You've got people with the codes at the top is what I meant who are able to get into networks, but you yes. are like, you're like, hey, I'm an elf actually in the machinery. I could do whatever I want.
Exactly. I am a ghost in the machine.
No, I totally get that. I totally get that. And, you know, that's a good analogy. All of us in resistance to this tyranny are ghosts in the machine. We just don't know the power we have.
You know, there was somebody you had on the other day, and I caught it to my ear, you know, as I was walking down the hall, and he said something about overwhelming them with keyword usage on the phone or something.
Yeah.
That is, that's an act of futility.
Because when something floods, they just turn that off, right?
Yep, exactly. It's as to them, it's as easy as brushing a fly away from their face.
Well, I'm no expert, but I knew that myself. Just as we get attacked with something, we just turn that off. What mm-hmm. about what I found is having complex discussions about government corruption, they really use the NSA to try to stop whistleblowers. That's what I found really shuts them up, really causes them a problem.
Mm-hmm. I would absolutely agree. And I tell you what, you know, speaking of that and speaking to Snowden and what they're trying to do to him, that is just, you know, people should be screaming. They need to understand that Snowden was living up to his oath. Because he has sworn, just like everybody that is, you know, gone to work, you know, if they're a government employee with that kind of access, they've taken the oath. They're sworn to the Constitution. And like for me, I always go back to, you know, it's a big deal to me. And then also my general orders. I shall not obey a general order and I shall report that. Well, I think he felt like he had no way to report it. So he had to give it out that way. Near as I can tell, I don't see any other agenda on this guy's plate.
Well, I talked to Wayne Madsen, who worked in the NSA today, and he's talked to a whole bunch of NSA people off record. And I mean, he's the real deal. He's given me so many big breaking stories.
I like him. He comes off to me like the man knows. Yeah, he's been there, done that, would be my take as well.
And he just said basically what Snowden said. He said there are thousands of contractors who can get into anybody's bank account, anybody, and they're using it to like harass women. They're using it to like screw with people. He said they're selling it to corporations and the government only goes after people that would sell it to a foreign government. But they like, the corporations run the government now. So they're basically have taken the government over. We've been infiltrated. I mean, most of the contractors are private now and they're doing the analyst work. I mean, listen, I've gotten the phone calls. My wife's gotten them. I've talked about it. Where they say, you know, I'm going to cut your effing head off. And by the way, you know, I hope your dad dies while he's in the hospital. Yeah, that's right. I'm listening to your GD phone. And I mean, so that might be some hacker or somebody doing that. But, you know, my gut level isn't, you know, that it isn't. What do you think of things like that going on? What does that sound like?
Dress for success.
Yeah, I hear you. Exactly. No, that's what I've got.
I did that just because, to be honest with you, that was my first thought when I said that. I wasn't trying to be flippant by saying that. I was actually very serious by doing that. And what I mean by drawing this weapon, here I am sitting at home and just out of habit of the way I live, I'm dressed. Those guys, I think the key is the fact that you understand what they're doing and you know that threat exists. So you set up your walls and boundaries and you keep fighting the good fight. And, you know, I don't know about you, Alex. I look at it this way. I always, you know, no bloodshed is the best, but if it comes down to brass tacks, I'm not rolling over. And if these guys come rolling in my house one night at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's a good chance I'm going to be up. But I know this, my wife's going to be coming down the stairs with her 870 tactical and something bad's going to happen. But I think every American needs to stop and think about that and realize that no, it's not you. It's not the guy next door. It's not down the street, but it's happening to somebody.
And well, no, exactly. And plus, guys that call up to threaten you, it's a psychological operation. You're not going to see, you know, usually the bullet that really comes for you or whatever. My whole issue is that someone's jacked into the network and calls me whenever something bad is happening psychologically to mess with me. My point is I have experienced people listening to my phones. I've experienced where nothing comes up on caller ID and they threaten you. And then you go
out. Okay,
yeah.
Well, I was going to say, okay, I kind of misunderstood that.
No, but I get what you're saying. No, that's a great response about the gun, defending yourself. My whole point is that I have experienced someone listening to my phone repeatedly because they tell you, they say, hey,
right.
You know, they use that knowledge that, hey, I'm listening to your damn phone.
But it comes up on the caller ID as not private number or anything like that, just blank, correct?
Blank, yeah.
Okay, the reason that happens, and this is a big deal, actually, Alex, SS7 exists. And if you go into a central office, only certain people have access. It's all locked up. The SS7, it's signaling. Signaling System 7. There's actually a new
protocol. No, wait, this is new. I didn't know this. I just know when we've gotten these calls, nothing comes up.
Yeah, so, okay, that all runs over the signaling system, okay? So that's like the traffic cop. Of the public, stop talking with my hands. That's like the traffic cops for the public switch telephone network. So what that tells you when it comes up, nothing like that, it says that whoever's in there has the ability to manipulate the signaling bandwidth that exists and strip out that data so that it doesn't get transported to you. That's why, see, to me, the fact that it's blank is hugely significant. You know, I can listen to a phone call and listen to the noises and tell you what's happening in that circuit. So I see things through a very different set of eyes because I've been a troubleshooter all my life.
Because there's tones, so, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And so as soon as, you know, as soon as you said, oh, it's blank, that keyed to me, oh, well, that tells you, and it also tells me that you're not fooling, and this does happen, and will probably likely happen more. And
oh, believe me, I wish it, believe me, I wish it wasn't happening.
You know, I would like to, you know, I would like that you and I, talk offline about that stuff, because maybe I can give you some ideas to, deal with that, you know?
No, the guys were with me at a steakhouse once right after Bilderberg when Obama had been there 5 years ago. And my wife's dad was in the hospital and her mom had been sick as well. And she calls up, oh, hi, honey. I'm about to fly out at Dallas. I'll see you in about 4 hours, blah, blah, blah. And she calls back crying. This has happened to me before, too. And they said, you know, blah, 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 and then threatened her and said, I hope your dad dies and all this stuff. And then I said, well, what's the caller ID? And she said, well, there's nothing. It's blank. You know, you like a woman calls up and says weird stuff, and it's like, where, it's not on the phone. Like in the last 15 years, it's probably happened 10 times, you know, like five times to me, like five times to my wife. And it's just like you call the phone company back and they go, what's the number? What's it say? You know, does it say unavailable? And the phone company says, sorry, sir, no record. And you're just like,
yes.
You know, there's just nothing you can do. They just, you know.
Well, and the funny thing is you're being lied to because they know damn well what's going on.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay.
Well, okay. I shouldn't be so about that. Anybody that is, you know, if you're just getting some ding-dong in a call center, maybe not. But anybody with any knowledge of the switch or anybody with any technical knowledge within the phone company, they're going to know what's going on.
Sure, there. That was in CBS News, the Navy SEAL family, after they were killing their sons, they were getting all these weird calls and text, and the phone company actually told them it's from D.C. and Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you're right. They told them.
Right. And so what happens is because they – see, they Kalia, if you got access to Kalia – it's like you got me sitting in the switch doing whatever you want to do. And you could be anywhere, like Afghanistan, like you say. It's all a matter of knowing how to access that network these days. And that's what scares me the most. This intel was never supposed to be run by contractors. That's ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. Never supposed to happen. They're screwing up the way they security these guys. Nobody realizes that a lot of the reason this stuff gets contracted is because they can fluff the security check procedures. And I know this for a fact. But do I have documents? No. But I know it for a fact. And I'm really a little afraid to talk about that because I think I could get in trouble. But, do you understand what I'm saying, Alex?
No. I know for Congress people to go see classified stuff, they've got to go through a big procedure. And you're saying
The contractors, okay, that's true, because if you're a government employee, it's all set up. But these contractors, they get these exceptions. And this started back in the Bush days, but because it's a contractor and because of the national security and because of imminent threat, and I don't see any imminent threat, but that's what they're playing and running with, they can kind of shortcut things. Like with me, I haven't had an active clearance since the late 80s. I mean, I had a clearance, but it hasn't been active. To this day, because my background has been investigated about every year of my life, and I can't tell you how many times I've fingerprints for the FBI and all that crap. It's just nature of the beast. So I could be cleared, you know, very rapidly to a high level of clearance, but it would still be questionable for them to do it that way. When I was in the military, they can fast track you, but as a civilian, there's a whole different DOD process to get cleared, and it's all run by DOD, and it used to be they've changed all that, so I better not. I'll say something wrong, I'm sure.
No, I understand. A lot of this stuff's classified. But my whole issue is that they classify all this stuff to protect us. Who protects us from the 800,000 contractors? Who protects us from all the foreign governments with the Chinese building back doors and all the switches? Because they're told to for specs so they can be backdoored by the government. I mean, it is just a recipe. In closing, Petraeus has a girlfriend, and the FBI uses that to go after him because he didn't like what happened at Benghazi. And then he goes to Bilderberg to promote the Panopticon surveillance that destroyed him. And it's like all these guys think they're going to use the Ring of Mordor to you know, save everybody, but it cannot be used for good in the final equation. I think that's the issue. And so how does humanity even survive with the power of the gods?
You know, you're good friends with Dave Mustaine, right?
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah, I think so. I've never met the man, but I've listened to Megadeth, and I listen to Megadeth, but I don't listen to Metallica, and that's a whole story. But I grew up, you know, I saw those fellows in 1982, so that's kind of what I grew up with.
Oh, wow.
And when you were talking about that, you know the song Just Like a Pied Piper?
Let the Rats Loose?
Appetite for Destruction.
Yes.
And that just popped into my head when you said that. Do you know the lyrics to that tune?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
With what you just said, I think that is very much the case.
And I think it's Symphony for Destruction. That's it.
Symphony for Destruction. That's it. That's it. And so I think that whole aspect of things almost answers that question in the sense that, we need to get behind what we know and stand. So what I mean is, don't feed the system, because that's the problem, is nobody can get off the tit because they got to have their email. They got to have their Google. They got to have their Facebook. They got to have their Twitter. Okay, fine. I could do all those things, but the way I do it, which is going to take more effort on their part, pretty much it doesn't necessarily keep me safer per se, as far as an attack, but I'm going to know when that attack's happening. So I can instantly take steps to provide resistance. And I think that's what people need to start doing.
Exactly. People say, I've nothing to hide. They don't care you have nothing to hide. They're using these as conduits into your life to raid your ass.
It's so that it's pre-crime, folks. It's so that they can predetermine through algorithms that you can't even begin to imagine. I mean, the predictive algorithms that are being devised today are freaking scary.
You know, I just realized who you remind me of because I've seen old films of him and I consulted on a movie, Scanner Darkly. You remind me of Philip K. Dick.
Really?
Yeah. Well, listen.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I have never seen him speak. I'm going to have to go, watch an interview, I guess.
Well, you look a little like him and you talk about some of the same issues. You know, he's the guy.
Oh, really?
He's the guy that wrote
The Matrix, right?
Blade Runner, a ton of it. Yeah. I mean, a lot of stuff. He's like the quintessential guy.
Well, I love Blade Runner. I mean, that movie was...
Science fiction futurist. Yeah, the late Philip K. Dick. PKD. Check it out. Well, listen.
I definitely will. I'm into that. You're breaking up a little bit, Alex.
I understand.
Sorry.
Well, listen, in closing, anything else you want to add? I really appreciate you spending time with us.
Oh, happy to do it. And, I would like to say this, and I probably ought to address all the things that I got in email. A lot of people are asking me, what can we do to stop this? And again, I'd kind of like to talk with you, Alex, offline, about that, because there seems to be a real clamor for it. And I think maybe, we could work together and do something like that, because I'm certainly open to doing it.
Well, that's another question. How do we gum up their system if keywords about terrorism don't work? We know they're not actually trying to stop terrorists. They're funding them most of the time. I mean, what does gum it up? Just having complex discussions about, yeah, I'm going to expose the newspaper tomorrow that the feds are shipping cocaine into Austin, or, yeah, there's a press conference tomorrow about the NSA spy hub at Time Warner. From what that totally freaks them out, because they're really using NSA to cover up the corruption.
Exactly. You start talking about that, and you get these analysts to key in on what you're saying. so that you're not flooding them with keywords. They're all of a sudden getting intel that they have to work on. You get these people to start wasting their resources. If they're out there chasing ghosts, they don't have time to chase you.
Oh, like this. That's going to be released tomorrow, that footage of a senator, raping a child. Yeah, it's going to be released on CBS News. It's total crap, but they've got a job to run that down, to shut down, to protect that senator. And by talking about it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
At the end of that, you know, you throw in, oh yeah, you know, I read this article on VX and GB and all that, and I was thinking about taking a vacation down to Johnson Atoll. Boom. And then you say the word infrastructure or critical infrastructure, telecommunications.
Absolutely. Boom. Oh yeah, we're going to get that package into the main telecom center at Salt Lake tomorrow.
Yep. There you go.
The guys have got their passes?
Yeah. You got it, Alex. That is a very good, you know, if you can get the masses, that becomes almost a human denial of service attack.
But instead they try to condition us that we just say the word bomb all day, and then all they do is tune that out by itself. It's so ridiculous. It's just unbelievable.
Right, and then, well, with the predictive thing, they take all that in, and everybody thinks it doesn't mean anything, but what they don't understand, they take all that in, it goes into the, you know, and that gets spit out to the media office, and to all the media folks that feed this garbage to the mainstream folks, and then they're just parrots spitting it out. So it becomes not only disinformation, it's active psychological operations against the entire population.
To make people believe, oh, look at those horrible hackers attacking the NSA, trying to protect the terrorists, saying the word terrorist, when if you really want to shut them down, talk about, yeah, no, the state police can't be stopped. They're going to stop that shipment of opium being flown into Miami tomorrow at 2 p.m. They're on to the CIA.
Right.
Now that's going to start an entire investigation because the NSA is there to stop the police stopping the drugs being shipped in.
And they don't know you're lying. They don't know you're making it up. They don't have a clue.
Because the computer is reading it and flagging it.
Exactly. So this is where the system breaks down. Their automation works against us, but if you're actively trying to disrupt it, and I want to tell everybody that what I'm saying now, I'm not telling you to go fight these people, mind you. I'm just kind of rolling with Alex on a Philip K. Dick kind of mental exercise.
Yeah, well, what we're saying is it is propaganda to say you jam the NSA saying bomb all day. That is,
right.
I agree. Because I've talked to engineers a decade ago. I saw articles saying that. Engineers said that's pure crap. All we do is program in that it's that word, plus real terrorists don't sit there and say, bring the bomb tomorrow. I mean,
the real terrorists are going to have their code words set up, and they're going to know how to talk to each other so that, because they know the keywords. They look for everything of that. And if their buddies get busted, they figure out why. I mean, these people are, they're going out to kill people. There's no boogeyman, but are there,
crazies? Yeah.
Absolutely. But I mean, more people die falling. I think it's like 3,000 people a year die falling in the bathtub.
250 from deer, 3,000-4,000 from falling in the bathtub, honeybees 200, wasps 200, terrorism 45. Man, I tell you, really impressed having you on. James,
well, thank you, sir.
James, I appreciate your time. And absolutely, we should have you back on about solutions to protect yourself from corrupt hackers, government, Zuckerberg calling his users dumb effers. How do we not let these guys look into our house like it's a glass house while they have all this privacy? That's another question. How do we legally and lawfully get into their privacy? Because I think they deserve some of their own medicine.
Yeah, I'd have to talk about that one offline, Alex. I hate to bail on that, but I really have to.
Oh, no,
to.
No. I'm not even calling for that. Absolutely. I'm not even. My whole point is there's so many different perspectives to look at, because think about how they're assaulting our privacy, but then they always want their privacy. Their privacy is national security, you know.
You know, and the way I understand the Constitution, and I was a public servant all my life, though I didn't necessarily work for the government all my life. You know, you work in critical infrastructure, you're doing that for the public good, you know, it's just the nature of the beast. So I understand that very well. I see the Constitution as these people need to understand that when they put that uniform on, whatever uniform, even if it's a suit, and they go to work, they are in the public eye. They have no expectation of privacy.
What
they have expectation of what they do, but if you want to videotape, I don't see, they're hiding behind a law or a right that does not exist.
In closing, this is the last closing question. I want to ask you this. I flew back in. I flew back in to the United States and went through four different checkpoints to get in. And they would ask me, do you have drugs? I'm like, no, I'm not the government shipping it in. And they'd laugh. But one lady got in my face and she said, you shouldn't have a passport that's expiring in a year and a half. And I just laughed at her. And it's so many government people now don't act like thugs, but more of them do than used to. And they're admittedly trying to hire people who aren't really tough. They're trying to act tough, messing with families. Have you ever run into that? This new government breed of like wimps acting tough, and it's like bizarre, and it's really obscene too, because anybody knows a real tough guy is not going to be trying to act tough and piss on innocent people.
You be very quiet and you conduct yourself with military bearing and you act appropriately. I haven't flown in a great many years because of the TSA. I flew to Utica to do a one-on-one course with a GN net test for about a week. No problem flying out of here. And since I was flying to New York, it was one of the rare times I didn't fly with a pistol. But it was very strange. When I got there, I was just tripping around, and I went to a gun store. I went to the Outback Steakhouse to eat, and I had a Foster's and a tequila anyway, and some coconut shrimp or whatever, and I'm sitting there chatting with everybody. And I go over to this gun store, and their laws are really weird. You can't even walk up to the counter if you don't have their little, I don't know, gun card. But the strangest thing, some dude, and the guy got mad at me because I didn't understand the laws, you know, and he barked at me and told me to back up and this and that. And I started to query him about what was going on. And some dude walks up to me and he goes, that really sucks, huh, Jim? I went, oh. And I walked out and I don't know who they were. I'm thinking FBI. I don't know why. They might have just been checking up on me. I don't know why in Utica. But to answer your question, as I was leaving Utica, I flew out of Syracuse, and I go in there, and there's this little short redheaded fellow and acting very effeminate and, you know, kind of faggy. Excuse me. No, I don't mean anything by that. And the supervisor, which was this little short-haired woman that obviously had an attitude, and she's like, you want to fly today? Well, this guy palmed my genitals and was very kind about it. It was all I could do not to kill him. I restrained myself, had some very negative words to them, got on a plane, didn't speak to a soul. I haven't set a foot in an airport since, and that was in 2005.
Exactly, and that's what we're talking about here, is the human domination. They want to break our will and train us that we're all prisoners, and instead of giving into it, we've got to speak out, and that's what you've done here today. And it's time for us to understand, sure, we could all be suspected of something, but we're innocent until proven guilty. Government, though, the founders said, has got to be kept on a short leash, and it is not considered innocent until proven guilty, because we know government, the history.
Government is guilty until proven innocent, and they have to prove themselves innocent. Hey, Alex, can I plug those two fellas that contacted me before we go?
Sure. I mean, if you want to, absolutely.
Well, yeah, just because I'm not, like I say, I don't have an agenda, but, I mean, you know, they're just good fellas and do good work, and it's,
you like talking to them? Sure.
Stebbins Knives, out of New Hampshire, and they're just beautiful Damascus, artwork. Check them out. I don't have the web address, but
no,
I'm sure
I want
it's easy
one. They ought to become sponsors. And the other guy was Bulldog Investigations.
And Bulldog Investigations, yeah. And he's out of San Diego. I don't have numbers or anything, but I just, you know, they reached out to me, and I've talked to them, and I guess I want to try to do that to try to give something back and to try to say, hey, you know, I'm doing this because this is what I feel. And, you know, I want to give back. I want to be a real person. I want people to understand that I'm not here for any agenda. I want to answer your guys' questions because there seems to be a need for this information.
Sure,
I just
and
want to help.
Haven't you also started under your pen name a YouTube channel?
Well, I set one up, and everything's been so busy, I haven't been able to do anything yet. And
sure, but plug it so people know about it in the future. You can post this video, too, there if you want. What's the site?
Yeah, and if you want, you know, anybody can contact me via darkcommo@gmail.com, darkcommo@gmail.
All right, we got it up on
Gmail particularly. I don't care who I use, so if anybody is freaking out about that, don't worry about it. Hit me up. I talk real short, and if you really got something to say, I'll talk to you. But beyond
sure,
that,
sure.
You know, I'll
all
do
right.
my best.
Well, listen, Jim, good talking to you, and I'll say bye to you here at the end of the show. Thanks a lot for talking to folks. You're an interesting fellow.
Thank you, Alex, and really enjoyed it. Really, really enjoyed
you
it.
You bet, buddy. Wow. So there you go. I mean, you don't want to really use the word whistleblower, but he's there from the inside going, hey, this stuff's going on. And it just shows the naivete of the public that for 16, 17 years I've been covering this, and now it's mainstream news and people are finally starting to wake up. But we don't have time anymore to be in denial about this. And the bad guys are using these systems against the Tea Party, against libertarians, against conservatives. And it's wrong, and they need to be brought to justice for it. So without further ado, I'm going to end this transmission. Great job of the crew. Thanks for Jakari Jackson doing the news portion of the transmission earlier tonight. This is the type of groundbreaking information that takes place here Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock Central, InfoWars Nightly News. And we jump through a lot of hoops to bring you this information. That's why we appreciate your support. If you are a subscriber, please share your username passcode. Make an original one that you can share. Give it to friends and family so that they can watch the nightly news. 11 people can watch it with the same username passcode. That's less than 55 cents a month, and that pays for the bandwidth and the cameras and the crew. Also, if you want to support us at InfoWarsStore.com with the water filters and the books and the films, all of that, all of it, this year especially, goes back into the operation. I'm actually spending more money right now than I'm taking in going into reserves to do this expansion against the globalist because I don't want to lose this fight. People ask, what makes me tick? Freedom, not being a slave. So please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. While supplies last, get in bulk a copy of the new June magazine exposing the global crime syndicate, the Bilderberg Group, at InfoWarsStore.com. And other than that, just thank you all for your prayers and support because the globalists aren't digging bunkers and buying billions of rounds of ammo and buying armored vehicles and trying to take on the Tea Party for no reason. They plan on imploding the country and trying to collectivize it. If we fight them and hold the door back, they'll try it later. Liberty is an ongoing fight. People say, Alex, where's the New World Order? Yeah, some of it's happening, but it's not as bad as you said because we're holding the door back. And people are bitching going, well, it hadn't gotten as bad as you said, because the New World Order is like 12 years behind. We're holding it back. Join us. Instead of just holding it back, let's push it back. Let's gain some ground here. We've got a chance to do it, but they may stage something at any time to come after us. How do you know who the good guys are? We're the ones being demonized. Bloomberg 2 days ago had an article saying, quote, Alex Jones doesn't build bombs, he builds bombers. When I'm saying never offensively start a fight. Be ready to defensively protect yourself. They are scared of us, folks, because we know their MO. We do the real research. I turn on the nightly news. Even if they're telling the truth, it's at a two-year-old level because they're all so dumbed down. The public has been lazy. They don't know the infrastructure of things. I've studied it, law, telecommunications, all of it, to have a basic understanding. All you need is a basic understanding of general knowledge. We can defeat these people. And that's why the info war is so important. So I'm Alex Jones signing off for this edition of Extended Whistleblower Info Wars Nightly News. Great job to the viewers and great job to the crew.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.